I forgot what I was gonna say. It was gonna be really good though. I had it all prepared. It was gonna be like the best thing I ever said. But I forgot it. So maybe you should just go ahead.
Hi everyone, thanks for listening to Life is Awkward on River West Radio. We have a special guest today. I'm gonna let him introduce himself.
Hey, I'm Brian Clewin. I'm a writer, director, and editor of film.
And you said, are you sure it's not Clewin?
Yeah, I'm it's actually, it's German, so we're in Milwaukee, so it's actually Clevin.
It's Clevin?
Yeah.
Oh man, I've been saying Clewin since I've known you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Have you never corrected me?
It's rude to correct people.
I don't correct people either, yeah, I just let people think. I had someone calling me like Pete for like a long time.
Isn't that your middle name?
Yeah, it is.
Well, then it works.
Which is why I was just like, let him get away with it.
Okay, Pete, well, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, man, thanks for being on the show.
Just kidding, it's Sam.
Oh. So today's episode is Scandal.
Scandal.
It's very scandalous. So yes. If you're ready for this, stay tuned.
Stay tuned? Like for right now?
No, like stay tuned, like stay in to the, listen to the podcast.
Break? There is no commercial break.
There's not a commercial break. Let's just jump right into it then.
Yeah,
do you have a question to ask?
It's not really a question. We had talked about, I have a pretty like weird family history that I won't go into, but apparently I'm going to make you go into it.
Well, I think it's just timely for me in the last, it just happened. In July, there'll be a really historic anniversary for my family. And that is the reintroduction of my brother into our family. And it was last year in July that I first learned that I even had a brother. And my mom decided to tell me that I had a brother that she had given up for adoption. It was a different time. He's 17 years older than me, so he's a bit older. But she was sent to a wayward woman's home when she was 17 years old, and when she came back, she no longer had the baby. She had given it up for adoption, and that was forced upon her by her parents. So it wasn't really her choice. Different time again. This was in the 60s. And she was going, this was something she was going to take with her to her grave. And she had recently done the Ancestry.com thing.
Right.
And when she did the Ancestry.com thing, she discovered that her father, that she had thought was her actual father, was not her father. She had no blood relation to him. So it became apparent to her that if that was possible for her life and because of Ancestry.com, there was a good chance that if I ever did Ancestry.com, I could learn that I had a brother that I didn't know about.
She probably had so much anxiety when she found that out, like, oh my God, he's going to find out.
You can't hide anything now with like the internet, basically.
There's no hiding.
Which is good? I don't know.
Well, there shouldn't be any secrets.
Like in this scenario, it's like, I mean, I would just want to know, and I wouldn't hold anything against my mom, because, like you said, like, different times, like,
yeah,
your parents did that, and, like, whatever.
And it feels like I've given a lot of backstory here, but I would like to go one step further, I guess, with the backstory. So when I was 7 years old, I came from a family. I had an older sister, myself, and then a younger sister. And when I was 7 years old, my older sister was murdered in the neighborhood by where we lived. And my mother had recently told my older sister, at that time, that she had an older brother. And my sister was very, very excited about this. She went out into the world trying to find him and just hit roadblock after roadblock. They couldn't find him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, 20 years ago, and now things have changed, obviously. Technology has allowed it to be a possibility. And what happened was I did Ancestry.com. And about a month later, my brother did Ancestry.com, specifically with the intention of trying to find my mother.
Hmm.
So that was July of last year.
So they found each other.
They found each other.
They did, okay.
And they connected pretty shortly after that. And after they connected, then shortly after that, I was able to connect to him. And it's a really wonderful story because it ends with a new member of our family, and he knew his whole life that he was adopted, so he has no like any trouble like coping with this. He's had his whole life to deal with it. It was quite a bit of a shock for me, especially because I had lost a sibling in my lifetime, and then to gain another sibling was pretty awesome.
Hmm. That's pretty cool. So what is he like? Is he sort of, do you guys have...
He's like me, but 20 years older, 17 years older.
So even though like you lived apart, like you guys have similar interests or like...
Very much so. He doesn't have any kids. So he's in the city of Chicago and he's living a kind of a more adult, youthful lifestyle, I guess. So it's cool. So we connect on a lot of things. We're able to still go. We went to a concert together like 2 weeks ago that he invited me to, which cool. was really cool.
So was he in Chicago this whole time?
Well, he was actually in Wisconsin his whole life. Oh. But then the last, 20 years, he's been in Chicago.
Okay. So not even that far.
No.
So you had a brother like literally only a couple hours away.
Yeah.
Didn't even know it. That's crazy.
Didn't know he existed.
Have you ever like visited like Chicago before and been like in his neighborhood?
Yeah, definitely. I had a friend who had a condo like not even a mile away.
Yeah, like right down the block.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably passed him on the street or a couple times.
So one of the things that like I think is so cool about life is that things happen when they're supposed to happen.
Right.
I was in my 20s, I was such a reckless person with my time and my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like the relationship, I might have scared him away. Like I wouldn't have the relationship that I have with him now then if I would have met him at any point other than like right now.
Right.
So that's interesting for me.
Why do you think that is? Or just different, you're a different person now, or you would react differently to the situation, or?
Yeah, I think, it's a lot easier for me to be empathetic and see everyone's position in a situation. So like in high school, it's so angsty and like, I could have totally seen myself being angry at my mom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I do think as you grow older, like I found not in that specific situation, but like things that happen in my life or like moving or traveling or doing something, like I wasn't ready at that time, but like I'm like, oh, well, now I've gained so much knowledge and stuff that I feel like I would be ready to do something like that, or I would be ready to take on something like a challenge like that. But when you're younger, you think you can, but then once you grow older and like wiser, you're like, oh yeah, I could have not handled that back then.
Yeah, for sure. There's really nothing to prepare you for, like the things that are situations you can't prepare for, right? I mean, that's
right.
Crux of it.
How do you prepare for the unprepared?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially something like that, which is like out of a TV show or something.
Well, how did your mom handle it once she realized you guys were like good together, like you guys hung out and everything?
Yeah, I think it's been a great relief for her to unload this, because she had like, I don't know if I said this, but her intention was to take it with her to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just so crazy that she was forced into this situation, and I think it's like the most healthy and most awesome thing for her to just have gotten that off her chest, because in my lifetime, like, or in her lifetime, she's had breast cancer. She had to give up a child for adoption. She's had 3 marriages, and she has also had a daughter who was killed. So
That's a lot.
I just, it's incredible to just see her stand. We just had Mother's Day, and it was really wonderful to spend it with her.
Did you guys all get together?
Yeah. Well, John, who's my brother, he stayed in Chicago. I think his significant other, her mother died last year, so it was her first Mother's Day without her. So they were just more comfortable staying in the city.
Right.
But we also, he's allergic to cats, and we all have cats, so he like we wait for the good weather to have him over.
To put the cats in the yard or whatever.
Yeah, well, we put him in the yard.
So how did your mom end up like telling you? Like text you, hey, by the way, you have a long lost brother?
I think she settled. I can't remember if it was a phone call.
Left you a message?
Yeah, no, it was definitely not that. It was like, hey, by the way, your brother, call me.
Call me later.
Yeah.
I honestly don't remember because it was such an ordeal. I mean, my sister and I really bonded over this experience too. We were calling each other every day, every hour. Oh, did he message you? Did he talk to you yet? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I think I was over at your place and you were doing something like that at the
time. Yeah, you were there in real time getting to witness some of that. It's as a storyteller and like a someone who writes a lot, it's one of these things where when your life resembles a movie, it's weird. Yeah, it's like
it is weird. I don't like it.
Sometimes I have not written about it yet.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I have that issue. Like, I spend so much time in this like dramatic world that I create that in the real world, when like dramatic things happen, I'm just like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, did I watch this somewhere? Oh no, this is my life.
Yeah. I've never had anything that dramatic though happen.
Well, the bar was set pretty high for me at 7 when.
Yeah. So do you.
But you think it like ends there and then.
Yeah.
There's just another thing on top of another thing.
I think that's life.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who don't have to deal with that stuff immediately out of the gate, but inevitably you're going to have to endure some hardships. And that's what makes life so beautiful. I mean, I think after all of this experience, I have been so happy, and I've been practicing a lot of really healthy things in my life, with meditation, specifically transcendental meditation, which, if you guys mind if I explain what that is.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, is transcendental meditation?
So it's a specific type of meditation that you're given. An instructor will give you a mantra, and essentially this mantra is just a tool to get you further and further down into your unconscious until you get to pure unconsciousness. And at that point, your body is able to do all this cleansing, and it gives your mind a chance to just do nothing, which in this day and age is incredible. So it's 20 minutes twice a day, and it's a really powerful thing. You go into this blissful, peaceful state, and it makes your day a whole lot easier to get through. It makes interacting with the people that you meet throughout the day a lot easier. So I would highly recommend, you live your life how you want to live it, but there are a lot of things out there that will make you feel good.
Yeah.
So I just want to understand, I'm getting it correct. You go deep down and.
Yeah. So it's hard. It's a little bit, cause it's not a, there's not a tangible thing we can touch and look at. So it's about taking your mind from a state of awareness where we are right now, where we're listening to something, we're talking, we're seeing, we're processing all that information. And it's taken a ton of brain power to do that. The idea is to get rid of all of that. Mm. You basically are breathing is about the only thing. And the way it works is that you bring your body and your mind to rest, if there's a really easy way to think about it. And the only reason that you come out of that is because you have to do your brain. There's like little things that your body has to do. So they kind of constantly pulling you out, which is why you're given a mantra to keep pushing you further down, okay, deeper into your unconscious.
So
which
you keep reminding yourself of that mantra.
Yes. It's okay to lose the mantra. It's okay to forget the mantra. It changes sometimes if you get deep enough. The idea is, to be doing absolutely nothing, to just give yourself that nothingness.
That's powerful.
It's the only way I've ever been able to get there. I've tried other types of meditation
and stuff.
And they're more surface level stuff. So they're great for visualizations. If you want to like stop and think about something that you want to bring into your life, something powerful you want to bring into your life, you need to take some time to think about what it is you want to bring in.
Right. No.
Yeah. I get a lot of like, my thoughts get like pulled in a lot of directions, and like, I'm not necessarily in control. And so that sounds good for that.
Yeah, that's what it's specifically for, is just reining in all the rogue thoughts and just like giving yourself that time so that when you do go back into your daily life, you can sort that stuff out. You're like, oh, wait, I have an idea for this, or I have the ability to compartmentalize a few of the things that I know I can take care of later. Things like that. It just makes it easier. So you're not just pulling out your hair, drinking a ton of coffee.
Well, like, what do you do if thoughts start to come into your head? Like, how do you kind of push them away and just get to that nothingness?
Sure. So, I mean, what happens is you just stay with the thoughts that come. And when you realize that you're having these thoughts, you just go back to the meditation mantra that you have, and I kind of try to center myself to a blank canvas, like a black blank canvas. It's really effortless. It's not something that you're trying to do. If you're putting any effort into it, you're doing it wrong.
Okay.
Also, this is something that you are supposed to meet with an instructor initially. It's something you know, there's no classes or anything like that, but there is an initial instruction where you're given a mantra, and it's based on, your life and a lot of the information that you give them about your lifestyle and your age and things like that.
That's interesting.
What is your current mantra, or do you have?
You can't say your mantra.
You can't say your mantra.
That's like one of the.
Do you just say it in your
like
head.
There, if there is a rule, that's like the only rule.
So when you're meditating, is it closed eye? Are you speaking the mantra in your head? Then?
Yes, it's never spoken out loud.
Never spoken out.
You speak it to your instructor just so that it's confirmed that you're saying it correctly. Yeah. Because these mantras, the idea is that they're all based on like objects in the world that make these beautiful resonant sounds, and they're therapeutic and help you get to that unconscious bliss.
Cool.
So it's more of like a harmony words, not like, I mean, maybe English words, but kind of just like, kind of like a sound.
It sounds
type thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I would say it's more sounds than anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Huh. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
It's cool. Sort of, it's really cool.
A hypnotic effect.
Yes. Yeah. And it's really powerful. I was a skeptic of pretty much everything in my life at one point in time. So
yeah, same. Yeah. When you find the thing.
Yeah. When you find something that works for you, stick to it.
Find it. Yeah. That's really cool.
I've never even heard of that. I've heard of so many different types of yoga. I even took like a yoga class in college.
Yeah, so yoga, it's part of the same family, the same school of thought as yoga. So if people are into yoga, this is like something that you would practice as a supplement to.
Well, yeah, I guess it's not really yoga, it's meditation. But
they're great together. They're really powerful. So if you're already practicing yoga, you're like 50% already there to pure unconscious bliss.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought yoga was very good.
Letting
my body speak, kind of.
Letting your body speak.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, everything kind of relaxes and just like falls. No, when you said pure, what did you say? Pure something bliss. It reminded me of an ice cream flavor.
Mm.
And I'm like, that sounds like an ice cream flavor.
Well, that you want?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things in this world that will make your mind go blank. And like ice cream would be one of them, although it might be a very fleeting few seconds. There's a lot of different things that you can do that kind of wipe your mind. And some of them are like positive and some of them actually are negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dopamine release.
The dopamine release. Yeah. Back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably in the same cortex.
Yeah.
Same,
so a lot of things in the world give you these little hits of dopamine.
Yeah. Does meditation do that, you figure? Or is it just more of the absence for
I think
the
it's
of
yeah,
it?
it's like the most low dopamine thing you can do.
It's
so
just equalizing.
There's no real reward. There's no instant gratification. There's nothing.
Right.
That's what the dopamine reward stuff is. What it
is. There's no cheat code.
Yeah.
To meditation.
Yeah. You got to take
after the meditation.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It has a different feeling though. When I've done meditation, it's more of this feeling oneness with emptiness or I feel like things can flow into me and like it won't bother me as much, or
it's perfect. Yeah,
just happy to be a vessel.
Yeah, you've gotten somewhere for sure.
Somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a hard time going back there, I think.
Well, that's why this is so awesome, because if you've gotten there before, it's probably you just randomly happened upon it, but this is an every time thing. You go there every single time.
Every single time. I like that.
And there, yeah, it, like I said, it's effortless. So
yeah, if you really give the time to something like that, yeah.
Yeah, 20 minutes twice a day.
Yeah. Everyone's got that.
20 minutes twice a day.
Yeah.
Well, someone was telling me, like, if you think you don't have time to meditate, you actually need to meditate twice as long because your life is so stressful.
That's exactly
that you
right.
You don't even have time to meditate.
Yeah. Because for me, like, it has a lot to do with slowing down time. Like, I watch a lot of movies. I listen to a lot of music. Mm-hmm. But I find that it speeds up time.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just listen to nothing, like, time will go back by really slowly. And all of a sudden, I have all of this time. But then I get, like, these percolations of, like, stress. I'm so used to having, doing something. I need to be doing something. Like this momentum of what?
That's interesting.
How so?
I just like it.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that's how I feel, I guess.
No, I, feel like I relate to that. I think that's why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like everyone always just feels like, well, not everyone, but a lot of people feel like they have to just like constantly be doing something.
Yeah.
I wish I could just mellow.
I think I mean, that's why the meditation is so awesome, is because you're better at everything you do. So Your hours are just used better throughout the day.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just, someone should have, I mean, we can't, no. I feel like such an advocate for this.
For
it's
what?
Just because it's so awesome in my, and it's been such a great thing in my life. So I just.
I mean, I think you can vouch for meditation as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. Yeah. There's just different, like you said, there's different types of meditation. If you've gotten there just by happenstance, which is great.
Yeah.
But could you imagine doing it every time, right?
Every time?
The pure unconscious bliss.
I can't imagine it. I don't know if I'm, maybe I'm scared of it.
Oh, yeah. It's not
probably.
Scary. It's not scary.
It's not scary.
It's beautiful.
Do you find good things come to you after?
Is so easy.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
Do you find that good things come to you after you've meditated? Like all of a sudden, like a couple, like maybe the next day or a couple hours later, something happens in your life and you're like, wow, I wonder if this is because I meditated.
Yeah, it's been, it's so, mm-hmm. I think I actually started the Transcendental Meditation in December. So it hasn't been all that long, but it has been, it's just been this crazy upward trajectory in everything that I've been doing in my life. And a lot of opportunities that I've never had before that I've just been given a lot of hard work. It's just, you know, right. It's a culmination of things, but
yeah.
It's been interesting. It's been, I think the meditation just makes me so positive that I don't have to be in my daily life so worried about the future, about things that are out of my control. And the days are more enjoyable.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. You're putting out good energy and you're receiving good energy. So,
yeah, you got to put out all the positive energy you can these days.
That's true.
Yes.
Don't go on Facebook.
No.
Don't go on any of those platforms of social media.
I pretty much avoid it. Yeah. There's a couple of things that I still do, but I know I'm better. I feel just better if I just avoid my...
Or limit your time. Everyone, you know, pretty much everyone's on there. So you can make an excuse for a few minutes if you have to do something for your advertising of your own business or whatever. But
there's some have to's for sure. And it's like just communicating with certain people. I always dream of childhood and being like with a landline.
Got to remember everyone's phone numbers. Good luck with that.
Wow.
I miss that little like light up phone. I like, you know, those clear phones with like the little wires running through it and that lit up. Like,
wait, yours lit up?
Yeah, it was purple and lit up like blue and green. It was awesome.
That's wild.
Just waiting for that phone call to light up.
Yes.
I guess we're just going to have to make a period piece movie so we can vicariously live through that.
Well, whenever I do write movies now, most of the time, like I just set them in the 90s, mm-hmm. so I don't have to worry about the social media aspect of the situation. Because I was just like, it's going to take over my whole movie if I add this social media element. I have to make it take place in the 90s when that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you can get your characters in sticky situations that nowadays are just like, they have a cell phone, like pull out a cell phone. It's like, well, you don't have a cell phone. You get yourself in some crazy situations, right? Your car dies somewhere, you know, you're now it's like, well, it was AAA.
You always have to have the phone die or something.
Yeah
I think I watched, it was the Pelican Brief, and like they were hiding this like brief about some
Pelicans?
About Pelicans and like some multi-global corporation. And I was just like, oh man, you can just throw that on the internet, but it's like 1989 in the movie.
Yeah,
so it's just like the whole drama is surrounded by the fact that they have to like pass this thing around by paper.
Because there is no internet.
Yeah.
Well, there is, but...
It's all hearsay. Anyways.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about, kind of about your ancestry and...
I mean,
meditation?
Use ancestry at your own risk, I would say, because
would you encourage
you might...
people to look it up, like look up stuff?
Or I don't know. It's if yeah. It
depends how you.
I think if you're going in it into it looking for anything but like your actual, you know, ethnicity and roots and wherever your people are from, that's like the best reason to do it. Otherwise, you know. Do that at your own risk, because if you don't care that much about where you're from, then you'll never have to know if you have a different mom and dad.
I don't even know how to handle that.
yeah, I don't know either.
I'd just be like, well, I'd probably be like, give me all the information now.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? But
yeah, like, we only have like 3 minutes. But
I know, that's
like,
why.
Did your mind have to go like backwards in time? And like rewire itself?
Yeah, a bit. I mean,
or does
it
just do it automatically? Or
no, it didn't. No. Like, there's no rewire. There's no way it could just automatically do that. I had to go back and think about like, yeah, just so much of my life, and I put myself in like, oh, how different would it have been here? How different would it have been here? It's so hard to say. The age gap is is a huge X factor, because I probably wouldn't have had like any time with him in the house. You know, by the time he was 17, I was born. So.
Yeah, I had an older brother like that, where it was like, we were just in two different worlds, because he was already in high school and I was like young, so he wasn't like playing with me that much.
Right.
And then he was off in college. And so he's really cool, but yeah, not a huge connection,
but
per se.
I will say that I'm super excited about the future and this having him in my life now. And
yeah.
That's awesome.
Our family, I think, is finally whole. Maybe it was a little bit of a something that you could always feel that was missing. That
I just feel like great for your mom to have that, like, because like if I had like that happened to me, it would be such like a burden off my chest that I could just be like, oh great, everyone is happy now and everyone's together and just.
Yeah, and it seems like it came out at the right time.
At the right time, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I think she feels that way.
Yeah. So that's thanks, awesome. Universe.
Thank you, universe.
To some degree.
Always.
Yeah. Something going on always. More than we can comprehend.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was any experience that happened in my life at the right time that was like something crazy like that, but I can't think of anything.
There was, you know, there was.
I mean, I'm sure there was. I just can't think of it within the 2 minutes we have that I can. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I had the thing with the rattlesnake. Where we were talking about the stone serpentine all day, and then we found a rattlesnake on the road later that day.
Oh.
And we had to save it. And we were talking about like snakes all day. And then all of a sudden we come face to face.
Did you gain knowledge that you had to use to save the snake, or?
No, it's just a weird scenario where like my friend is a vegan and like saving animals, and she stopped a line of cars and like off the interstate, and it turned out to be like 20 cars long, and then the first car to stop were snake wranglers, and so it's just like the odds of that happening is zero.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
So it must be the universe doing something.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and so sometimes you just have to, I mean, you have to just be in awe.
You have to be open and in awe. Yeah,
in awe.
So if anyone wants to share us their stories, they can
let us
email
know.
us.